ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting edition of Monday Motivation. Hi everyone, this is Rabbi Garfinkel of Olami 613 without a live studio audience, but nevertheless, we are still pumped for an exciting podcast and an exciting week. Fasten your seatbelts, everyone. I am pumped up. I am fired up. There is news that broke last week. That is absolutely unbelievable. And if we look at the historical context, which is what we're going to do at least part of the time together today in Monday Motivation, it is absolutely mind-boggling and astounding historically what came out of the United States government last week, and specifically from the White House. And we will cut straight to the chase with the following proclamation from the President of the United States in Presidential Actions, Jewish American Heritage Month 2026, by the President of the United States of America, a proclamation. Now, what is this proclamation? This Jewish American Heritage Month, we honor the countless contributions of Jewish Americans throughout our nation's 250 glorious years of independence, and we celebrate their unwavering commitment to the values that make our country great: faith, family, and freedom. Okay, so this proclamation is starting off great. And then he quotes George Washington's famous letter to the Hebrew congregation in Newport, Rhode Island in 1790, basically saying that we got your back, that you are not going to be persecuted anymore, and that everyone should sit safely under his own vine and fig tree. It's a biblical reference. And there should be none to make him afraid. All right, that's great. And then the proclamation continues upon the great Americans who helped the fledgling United States, Haim Salomon, right? He actually financed the war, a large part of it, the War of Independence from Britain. Okay, and then it goes on, and the president touts his work towards fighting anti-Semitism today. I would love to compare his record to any other president's record of fighting anti-Semitism on college campuses. It is unbelievable. He's suing college campuses. We're going to get to this hopefully a little bit later. But the blindness of Jews to not be able to see beyond politics, to have an allegiance to a political party or political parties, whatever the party may be, before backing what is right for the Jewish people is totally unacceptable. Suing Harvard University is great. I don't care what party you're from. Suing UCLA is great. Columbia, suing all these places that still have not changed. They're doubling down on their anti-Semitism. Talk to students there. There's no encampments like there was during the war. But it's absolutely ridiculous that we cannot just say thank you and appreciate and be Jewish, which means recognize goodness of this president that is so maligned. And I don't care if you like him or not, but what he's saying is true. He is fighting anti-Semitism in many ways more than any other president in the past ever. And you may not like Bibi, but Bibi says all the time, and if you would poll the Israelis, even the left Israelis on the political spectrum, they would say clearly that President Trump is the most pro-Israel president in history. So we're back to the proclamation. And by the way, I want to emphasize, if it was a different president from the Democratic Party who was doing these policies, I would stand on the rooftops and praise him or her. I do not care about which party it's coming from. I care about that Jews are being defended. Okay, and we continue on. And now listen to this. This is where you need to start fastening your seatbelts over here. And he says, that throughout this historic year, we rejoice in the triumph of the American spirit and rededicate ourselves to the cause of liberty and justice for all. In special honor of 250 glorious years of American independence, and on the weekend of Rededicate 250, a national jubilee of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving, Jewish Americans are encouraged to observe a national Sabbath from sundown on May 15th to nightfall on May 16th. Friends, families, and communities of all backgrounds may come together in gratitude for our nation. This day will recognize the sacred Jewish tradition of setting aside time for rest, reflection, and gratitude to the Almighty. It continues on, and you can look it up and read the rest. I don't know if the people you're listening to know how significant this statement is in the historical context. I have goosebumps right now. Do we realize that for much of the Jewish history, we have been fighting to the death to be able to keep Shabbos? We have been fighting kings and queens and communists and socialists and dictators and every type of government form to be able to keep Shabbos. And it goes all the way back to the Hanukkah story. The Hanukkah story, why were we fighting? Because one of the main things that the Greeks wanted to destroy, to wipe out, was our observance of Shabbos. So anyone who has ever observed Hanukkah, you know why you're doing it? Is because the bad guys, the Greeks, said, you can't keep Shabbos. And we were willing to fight to the death to be able to keep Shabbos. And this pattern has continued throughout history. And now, the leader of the free world, of the United States government, has actually called upon Jewish Americans to keep a Sabbath? Do we realize how unique that is in history? It could be the first time in world history that a non-Jewish leader has made a proclamation that the Jewish people should keep the Sabbath. And I think that is absolutely amazing. And now, the question is, are we going to do it? Are we going to do it? May 15th at sundown till May 16th on three stars out? You imagine the opportunity? Now, the only critique I have is that the decree for Jewish Heritage Month went out a little late. We couldn't prepare more. But Olami International jumped on this. We're going to do our best to get people here for Shabbos anyway. It was sizing up to be a nice Shabbos anyway for us hosting here in the Chud and the Shtetl. Are we going to hear the call? Are we going to hear the call? It's absolutely amazing and astounding. And this freedom which America affords us is one of the greatest blessings and yet one of the greatest challenges. Because now we don't have Antiochus, the evil Greek, telling us that we can't keep Shabbos. And we don't have Stalinist Russia crushing Jewish observance, especially Shabbos. And we don't have any of the evil dictators, kings and queens, and the post-Spanish Inquisition of conversos or those hiding their Judaism to be able to keep a Shabbos, where they had centuries posted looking for if there was not smoke coming out of their chimney on Saturday day. And they could be taken to the Inquisition because if there was not smoke coming out of one's chimney on Saturday day, that means one wasn't cooking. And therefore, Jews gave their lives to be able to keep Shabbos. And now, the only thing preventing us from keeping Shabbos is us. Is us. Is either because we don't know about it or we don't care about it. Well, we only would not care about it because we don't know about it. And so at the very least, what we need to do is to learn about Shabbos. Because as soon as we learn about Shabbos, we're going to fall in love. And learning about Shabbos doesn't mean just opening up a book, which it also means that there are many amazing books. A book, one of my absolute favorites now, A Day to Create Oneself, by Chief Rabbi Warren Goldstein of South Africa. An amazing book that talks about the beauty of the Shabbos and how it molds our character and molds our thoughts and positivity. So at the very least, this proclamation should inspire us to learn about Shabbos and to do Shabbos, because that's really the only way to sit on a Friday night and to sit on a Shabbos day table around family and friends with no phones. I'm telling you, people, it's so much better without your phones. It's so much better. You get to connect to the people that you really care about. You get to not be frenetic, is the word I call it. It's to always be nervous about what's next and what do I need to check next and which app and what thing and what's going next. To truly be alive, that's what Shabbos is. One would think that Shabbos would be some sort of torturous experience. And it's literally a taste of the next world in this world. That's what Shabbos is. And the great tragedy of American Jewry is that we don't know it. There are no more kings telling us we can't keep Shabbos. We're the only ones who are not keeping Shabbos. So let's use this opportunity. Let's use this opportunity. This is Monday motivation. Okay, Rabbi's on a rant. But let's flip it to the positive. We can make a choice every week what type of Shabbos we want to have. And if I miss a week, it doesn't mean that the next week has to not happen again. One failure does not predict the next. So let's start building a realistic and really practical way that we can bring Shabbos into our families. And I'm telling you, it has to revolve around not being involved in technology. No phones, no TVs, no cars. And even it's starting as part of Shabbos, as part of the Shabbos experience. That's just getting to the starting line. Some people say, oh, I just turned my phone off on Shabbos and I was miserable. Yeah, because you're only not doing the negatives. The whole point of not driving on Shabbos and not using your phones and technology and internet, all that stuff, that's the starting line. But what do we do on Shabbos that allows us to connect to family, to friends, to God, to Hashem Almighty? It allows us to live. Folks, it's Monday. Can we commit to doing something more for Shabbos this week? Can we rally our children to get them involved, to put away their phones? Can we do it? Can one listener out there of many, thank God we have many listeners, can one listener out there please tell me that you're going to do something different? The President of the United States, a non-Jew, is telling you to do what Hashem is telling you to do every week. Can we step up to the plate? Can we do something more? Something radical, something radically different, radically more than what you're doing. And if you want to go coast to coast, that's great. And if you want to come join us in the hood, we have plenty of places to put you up. Okay, I want to pivot now to something that one of our amazing young professionals, Ethan Sofer, said. And when we were talking about this on Shabbos, and he's a dedicated Shabbos goer, Shabbos observer, super proud of him, tremendous blessing to Olami 613. And he said, Rabbi, look at this. He said an insight that was so amazing, and I want to share it with you and quote him, or at least paraphrase him. He said, you know, the original in the 1800s, when Judaism was being changed, when Judaism, the big movement to take away formal observance of the mitzvahs, just to kind of keep the basic Jewish ethical wisdom and the ethical monotheism, but really to gut Judaism from its it's mitzvah observance, no more Sabbath, no more kashrut, keeping kosher, right? One of the major justifications for that was that to be good Germans and to fit into society, we need to jettison, we need to get rid of all of these somewhat bizarre customs in order to fit in better. In order to be better German citizens, we need to leave Shabbos. And now it says even an unbelievable historical irony. In order to be good Americans, we need to keep Shabbos. The United States government made a proclamation that every Jew should keep Shabbos. In order to be a good Jew today in America, we don't need to leave Shabbos. We need to lean into Shabbos. We don't need to jettison Shabbos. We need to double down on Shabbos. I thought that was an incredibly powerful point. Okay, so I thought that in the last couple minutes of the podcast, after you all have heard my plea to do more for Shabbos, that we would delineate, to lay out just a few practical tips for how to make Shabbos. Okay, Rabbi, I'm all in. How do we do this? So, first of all, is food. Okay, food is extremely important. Food is really what we're supposed to, the halakha is where the Jewish law dictates that we should eat nicer food on Shabbos. Okay, kosher food, again, depending where you are. Even if you don't want to cook, certainly in the Chicagoland area where we are, there are many options for catering. All right, so it's time or money. And if you don't have the time, then lay down the money. It's great. It counts just as much. It's absolutely amazing to invest your time or your money in getting really good, wonderful, yummy food for Shabbos. It involves a Friday night meal as well as a Shabbos day meal. And then now when the sun sets later, then we're talking about the third meal is not just something that in the winter is very rushed, but it's actually dinner on Saturday night. And so if anyone, obviously, recipes, etc., Friday night is just a beautiful dinner. Usually, you know, chicken, challah, chicken soup if possible. If you want to go all out and do a brisket and do, you know, meat and whatever, that's wonderful. Shabbos day usually has something called a chillant. Chillant is something that's cooked overnight. Now, if that's too much and too much bandwidth, that's fine. You can have cold meal on Saturday, even though it's encouraged to have a hot cooked food. Chillant, maybe we should do a separate episode just on what chillant is. It's a slow cooked food that's put up, slow cooked before Shabbos begins and slow cooks all night through Saturday during the day. Okay. But here's where a lot of people, and certainly our students, get stuck, is Shabbos afternoon. So Shabbos afternoon is a really wonderful opportunity to visit with friends. Okay. Hopefully people have neighbors that they like. All right. Invite neighbors over. All right, this is the time to actually talk to people, connect. I recommend, you know, if we're going away for Shabbos, we'll get new board games or we'll get new, magazines or anything that is going to be interesting to keep people involved. Also, Shabbos afternoon, holy, 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 is the Shabbos afternoon nap. Okay, and when you look at what Shabbos is, it's really eating, sleeping, connecting with friends, praying, and enjoying other people's company. It's not torture. It's our life. And it is exactly the lifeblood that has kept the Jewish people for thousands of years. Those who keep Shabbos, Shabbos will keep him. Shabbos will keep her. And we see so clearly that those Jews who sadly have left Shabbos, sadly, if it's not them, or their children, certainly their grandchildren, are no longer part of the Jewish people. And so, folks, Shabbos 250, the 250th anniversary of the United States of America, which simultaneously has given us the greatest freedoms to express our Judaism, but has also been the greatest challenge for us to keep our Judaism. No kings and queens, no dictators beating us up. that we would have to fight for our Judaism. Sometimes a hug is more dangerous than the alternative. But either way, God willing, we will use this opportunity, this Shabbos, to connect, to do more, to come closer to each other, and to come closer to Hashem. God bless. Have an amazing week. Have an amazing Shabbos 250. And I want to hear about it. Please, please send me feedback. God bless. Have an amazing week. And we'll see you again, God willing, right back here next week for another exciting edition of Monday Motivation.